Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and March Madness is up on us. It's my favorite time of the year in the sports world, seeing all the college basketball teams, whether it's NCAA Division I level with Kentucky, Western Kentucky University, now my brother, head coach at Northern Kentucky University, and also at the NAIA level with Georgetown College, where I was the radio voice for 4 years and did their coaches show for men's and women's basketball. I want them to do really well. And also Transylvania University Division III, where my friend Brian Lane is the head coach. And, of course, you've got the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Sweet 16 high school state tournament championship going on. So it's the most wonderful time of the year. I know we sing it at Christmas time, but I actually think sports-wise it's in March. But I want to talk to you today and tomorrow about how March Madness can actually become gladness in our lives. A lot of the things that we think are madness actually can become gladness. And I think back sometimes, you know, we have failures in our life and yet we don't understand them at the time. But later on, what was madness or painful at the time in that season of life can later on in a future season become gladness or become joy or, more importantly, be a blessing to somebody else. I want to remind you today that your scars can actually become somebody else's stars someday. They can see that, hey, you survived, and so they can look to your scars, to look to those stars in the sky that help them realize, you know what, I can make it out of this season of divorce or out of bankruptcy or out of getting the report that it is cancer or finding out that their job position has been eliminated. The list goes on and on of the different scars that we all have, and some people have several scars. And yet, God is faithful. One of the things, of course, we like to give Doubting Thomas a hard time in the Bible about after Jesus came back and rose from the dead and was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses, but he appeared before the disciples. And Thomas said, you know, let me see the scars that you have in your hands and side, if that is you, Lord. And he did. He showed them those. And so I want to encourage you today. You may think that these wounds that I've gone through can never be beneficial in my life, but I want to say to you today that they can become a blessing. It's helped me so many times in my own life going through the divorces. Nobody better to talk to somebody that's gone through an unexpected divorce than me, who's been through it, unfortunately, twice. But I've learned a lot from the second one 10 years ago and have applied those principles, the pain, the heartache, the love, the grace that God has. And I know that God wants to use your scars and stars, and I've been able to help people who've gone through a bankruptcy because of a flood, and so natural disasters, that, and lose my home. I mean, I know what all those are like, and I've been able to use those to help others. So I want to encourage you today to realize that God can do what Romans 8:28, and that's one of my life verses. I got it from I used to hear my hero Wayne Smith. He would started going to Southland Christian when I was in college, and I used to hear him say this verse over and over. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice that verse doesn't say that some things or most things. It says all things. God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And so I want to encourage you today to know that God never wastes a hurt if we allow him. And when the flood happened back in March of 1997, and we were doing the just massive cleanup, so much wonderful help from the staff I worked with of almost 100 people. My family members took off work and came. The wonderful community of Cynthiana, I was a member at Southland Christian Church. They sent a team of volunteers every day. It was just amazing, the outpouring of support. But I had to stay really strong because a lot of people were depending on me. As the owner, I had to keep my game face on, keep the mask on, that I was okay. But one day, about a week after things, we'd been trying to get everything back together. It took 3 weeks before we were able to totally get everything cleaned out and reopen. But my office manager handed me a letter and said, hey, this is hand addressed. Thought you might want this. And it was from Wayne Smith. And the letter was short and simple, but it was so powerful. In fact, I still have it today. I have it framed. It says, "Greg, I hurt because you hurt. All I know to tell you is what Romans 8:28 says, that all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." And he says, "I know God has a purpose for this and a purpose for you." And he also put a $300 check in there. And, you know, I was $2 million in debt. That $300 check seemed like $5 million to me. It was just a way of somebody saying, "I hurt because you hurt, and I want to put my money where my mouth is." He did it with word, actions, and deeds. And this was so blessed. And finally, just all the pain from what had happened just came to the surface, and I just started sobbing in my office because he said, I hurt because you hurt. And I want to let you know that today, that the Lord knows the pain you're in, and you are not alone. And when you hurt, God hurts. As Wayne used to say, God had only one son without sin, no son without sorrow. So I want you to know God knows your pain. But I will share four things with you that can turn March Madness into gladness in your life. The first one is, sometimes God asks us to sacrifice. Sometimes God asks us to sacrifice. I remember last year in the NCAA tournament, Kentucky played Wofford in their opening game, and Wofford was pretty good, and they had the nation's leading score. It definitely was in the top three, but I think it was number one. And Tyler Hero, who was a great offensive player for Kentucky, but not necessarily their best defensive player. In fact, early in his freshman year, November, December, he was really getting abused on defense. But he stepped up and told Coach John Calipari, "I will guard Wofford's best player." And sometimes we have to sacrifice maybe something we enjoy or something we're good at because God asks us to. And I want to remind you that Jesus modeled this for us in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down by myself." So Jesus, when he died, he willingly did that. He didn't have to do that. He could have called 1,000 angels to come down, defend him, protect him. But he did it because he knew that his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, God, loves us, and he loved him, and that he had to do this so that we would never be separated from God again. So I want to remind you that Jesus willingly sacrificed his one and only life, and he did it because he loves us. And it's another way that God shows you that he loves you each day. One's by giving you breath today. If you're able to breathe, if you're able to get up, if you're able to eat food and drink and be able to see, I mean, those are so many, many blessings. But I want to encourage you to know that God understands pain and sacrifice, because he sacrificed his one only son, Jesus. And Jesus told us there in John chapter 10, verse 17, 18, that no one took his life. He willingly laid it down his life. And I want to ask you a question today. What is it that God is asking you to sacrifice in your life during this March Madness basketball season? And I don't mean about basketball, but I just mean anything in life. What is it God's willing you to sacrifice? Maybe it's to sacrifice something financially to bless a single parent that you know needs some help. Or maybe it's taking a coworker to lunch that, you know, really is not your favorite person to work with, but you know they're going through a tough season, and God's been kind of pricking your heart that you should do something for them. And it's a sacrifice of your time, of money, and yet also not something you really want to do. But friends, we're never more like Jesus than when we sacrifice. A second thing that I think we can learn from March Madness that God can turn into gladness is we have to understand that sometimes we're going to face rejection in this life. Sometimes we will face rejection in this life. A great example of last year in the NCAA tournament, there was a young man named Carson Edwards that played for Purdue, and he was from Texas, and he wanted to go to his state school to play. It'd be like a kid growing up in Kentucky playing high school basketball, wanting to play for the state school, the University of Kentucky, but not getting offered a scholarship. Well, Carson Edwards, even though he was rejected by the University of Texas when he came out of high school, he winded up last year going, Purdue did, playing at the University of Texas back in December of 2018 and led his team to a win, had 30 points. But then, more importantly, he turned that rejection from not being able to play for his state school in Purdue last year. He set a NCAA record in 2019 for the most three-point shots made in NCAA tournament history when he made 28 three-point shots. And so he turned that rejection as into motivation to help others, or help, I say help others, we need to do it to help others, but he did it to help improve his basketball ability, and he winds up now, he plays for the Boston Celtics this year. But Jesus, he knew what rejection was like. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 said, Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. In Luke chapter 4, verse 29, it says, and they got up and they drove Jesus out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw Jesus down the cliff. Now, you talk about rejection and people having hatred for you. I mean, I've had people that really didn't like me, and honestly, sometimes I wonder maybe they even hated my guts just because, unfortunately, Jesus warned us in the Bible. He said, be careful. Woe if all people speak well of you. It's just impossible for everybody to like you. And for people pleasers like me, sometimes that's hard. But I don't know if I've had anybody to the point that's disliked me enough that they wanted to take me and throw me off of a hill. And Jesus actually experienced that. But because his time to die was not yet, he was able to escape. But I want to remind you and encourage you today that God knows what it's like to face rejection. And one of the most powerful things you can do, if you want to be a mature follower of Christ and you really want to turn madness into gladness in this month of March, I want to ask you today, who is it that you need to pray for and ask God to bless that's persecuting you right now? Say that again. Who is it in your life that you need to pray for and ask God to bless, even though they have been persecuting you? The Bible actually talks about this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. In that, Jesus was talking and Jesus shared with people about loving your enemies. Actually started in verse 33. He said, you have heard it that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Friends, that will take you to a whole new level of faith. And you will be amazed at how much peace you will have. And I've seen God do that in my life. I wasn't able to do this about 10 years ago, but God had a personal situation where I had to do that. And I saw God. It took a couple years, but eventually God showed up in a powerful way in my life in a situation. And it all started with me praying for a person that had been persecuted. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow. So we're going to continue this topic based on Romans 8:28, when we can turn March madness in our life into March gladness. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.